Everything in this world has a cost. Probably initially think about that in terms of how much we have to pay for things, how much a gallon of gas costs right now, or how much it would cost to go buy some food at the grocery store, or whatever else we need to do, which would cost to take some time off work and go on a vacation to get some R&R. Whatever it might be, it costs a certain amount of money. We may have that money, we may not, but it all costs something. It's not just the price tag on things that have a cost. Things also cost in terms of time. For example, some evenings I know that the cheaper, healthier thing would be for me to cook the food that's in my house. It's just some chicken breast, maybe, you know, some potatoes. Nothing too special. Or, when I don't have enough time for that, I could drive to Chick-fil-A. I could get something similar, definitely not as healthy, but I could get some chicken and I could get some potatoes. And it would definitely be faster, it would cost me money, but sometimes I don't have the time to let the pot boil and cook the chicken. So sometimes I have to go to Chick-fil-A, very happily, I would add. But all the things, many decisions we make in life come down to these costs of if we have the money, time, and other resources to do these good things. And sometimes the decision is that simple. Right? Sometimes we simply can't do things that we want to do because we don't have the time or money to do it. But what those costs also point out to us is where our treasure truly is. That actually how we use those resources reveal what our priorities are. Actually, I think that's exactly what Jesus is trying to bring to light for the chief priests and the elders and all of his disciples in this parable. Because if it's simply about how to use their resources, their time, whether they decide to go to this feast or not, it seems kind of silly, to be honest. And if it's just about should we choose to go to a party or go work or go to the farm, well, all those are good things. Does Jesus just want us to have fun more often and go to a party? I think that's really what he's trying to point out to the chief priests and the elders. Instead, he's highlighting for this king who throws a great feast, who planned probably months and months, if not years, for this feast and invites everyone. He's expecting them to mark it on their calendars and make it the number one most important thing of that day. It's not saying that their farm or their business or other things aren't important. But he's simply saying this should be the number one priority for himself, but also for all his invited guests. But for the guests, either ahead of the day, or it sounds like to me, even just on the day of the feast, they maybe even RSVP'd and said they were going to come to the party, but then, you know, something came up. I got to go do something else. I got to go to the farm. I got to go take care of something. Or I don't like these servants, so we're going to mistreat them. Whatever it was, the feast was not the number one priority of the guests. Again, it's not that their priorities were bad. It's that it wasn't the most important thing. At that moment, there was something more important for their time and their resources. I think Jesus wants to point out that God has a great desire to throw a wedding feast for us to lead us towards the banquet of heaven. The question is not, do we have enough resources? Do we have enough grace or time or money in order to do that? But all of us has varying degrees of those things. The question is, what is our top priority? How do we use those resources, and do they reveal where our treasure truly is? They start to point out that God is one of the priorities in my life, but not actually the most important one. As I was thinking about this homily, I was considering that I've spent approximately 4 days and 8 hours watching the TV show The Office, which I believe is funny. Steve Carell is funny. Michael Scott is funny. Sometimes I'll just watch it for 30 minutes, maybe watch 2 episodes in an evening just to relax, which is not a bad thing. But when I put it all together and I think about, you know, showing up at the end of my life to the gates of heaven and being like, Lord, I tried to do your will in everything. I think you could rightly get out a short little list and go, so 4.5 days, approximately, watching a show about a fake paper company? And I would have to say, yes, Lord, that is what I did with those 4 days. Again, it's not that it's bad, but I think you could rightly ask, And did you make the same choice for me? Did you still in those days make choices every 30 minutes or to spend those 4 days in totality in prayer and in adoration with me? Brothers and sisters, I think I should rightly be embarrassed if that's not the case. If it's the case that if I look back at my time and my resources and I go, actually, a silly TV show has taken priority over God. Or if my vacation has taken priority over God. Or if my work or even good things like my family commitments and things that I need to do have taken priority over God. I think that's the way that this parable is meant to cut to the heart of the chief priests and the elders. To help them realize that it's not about how much resources you have if you're doing good with them. It's when it comes down to it, what is the most important thing? Are you using those resources to choose to follow God? Or are you just hoping that that falls in line with what you want to do? Because if you are in love with God and He is the top priority of everything, when you're invited to this wedding feast, you'll do everything to make it happen. You'll clear the calendar. You'll take care of other important things so that you can be there for the feast. You'll make sure that you're properly dressed, that you have the wedding garment, and that you've done everything that you need. But if it's just a nice thing that we hope will happen, if we're just kind of in like with God or in like with the things that He could do for us, then I think it becomes easy for other things to become the most important priority. That He's important, but not the most important thing for us. And when that happens, it becomes harder and harder to allot our resources to Him. Over the next month or so, we'll be preparing for renewing our commitment to the stewardship way of life, of looking at how we receive those gifts of time, talent, and treasure, but also then how we give them back to God. I don't think it's so much that God needs them. It's not even that the church or that Father Devin need people to do things and to offer these things for the good of God. Instead, it's a question of, do we take those resources of our time, talent, and treasures and show that God is the most important priority? That He gets the first and the best cut of all those things rather than just getting the scraps. We'll talk about that in terms of tithing, that we give the first fruits back to God, not just at the end of the month when there's a little bit extra from bills and other things that, okay, Lord, You get some of this. But it's that right off of the top, right when I get my check, that I know what that amount is and I give it to Him first. Again, I don't think it's because God wants us to be poor. He's more important than paying the rent. But it's a way that we say, Lord, You get the first cut. You are the top priority for me. I think it's even more impactful in terms of our time. We may think of time in terms of volunteering and helping out with big things like Fun Night, coming up in a few weeks, by the way, Quilt Bingo, or helping out with the ministries at Mass, and that's part of it. But in terms of our stewardship commitment, I think our time is primarily just that time spent in prayer. That recognition that God has given each of us 24 hours in a day. And do I set aside some of that for Him? Not just when it's convenient. Not just when there's some extra in the morning or in the evening. But do I look at every day and say, Lord, I'm going to give You the best of my day. I'm going to set it apart. There's nothing else that will take the place of it. Even important things and even good things. Because You are always the top priority. I'm sure I've shared this story before in homilies because it's one of my favorite. But Mother Teresa in Calcutta made her sisters complete a Eucharistic Holy Hour every morning. They would go out to the streets of Calcutta, care for the poor and the dying. They would spend some time with Jesus, realizing that Jesus thirsted to care for the people around them, but also that He cared for Mother Teresa and her sisters. And one day, one of the sisters that had worked with Mother Teresa for many years, she came to her and she said, Now, Mother, I love our Lord and I love Eucharistic adoration, but there is so much for us to do today. There's twice as much as what we normally do. And so I know it's important for us to pray, and maybe we can pray later tonight once we get all our work done. But I think it's best if we don't do our holy hour today. I think Jesus wants us to do the good work that we're going to do, and we're not going to get it all done if we spend an hour in adoration. Mother Teresa wisely but quite directly said to her, "Sister, I think you are correct. Today we will do 2 holy hours." That's also why you don't sass back to, you know, the Holy Lady. But I think it actually is revealing Mother Teresa's true priorities. That for her, it really was about being close to Jesus. And that did mean she had to go and do dirty things and take care of the poor. That wasn't unimportant. But to her, she knew she couldn't do any of that without being connected to Jesus. And so if there was more than she could possibly do in a day, that meant I needed to literally double down on Jesus. And say, "God, I'm going to spend more time with you so that you can help me get all that work done out there. Because if I do the opposite, if I trust more in myself and spend more time out there, I'm probably actually going to do less of God's work." And she said, "That's never what I want to do. I never want to do more Teresa of Calcutta things. I want to do more Jesus things." Brothers and sisters, that reveals that she used her resources, her time, talent, and treasure to make God the number one priority. Not just to give him the extras, but to give him the first fruits. So as we prepare over the next few weeks to renew that commitment, I encourage you to find ways to spend that time in prayer with the Lord. Maybe reflecting and saying, "Lord, have I given you the best of my time, talent, and treasure?" But also simply to ask how you can do this going forward. How you can look at the time of each day and each week and give God some of that time. Give a specific amount of it and give the best that you can give. In fact, all of you are kind of started to do that already. We've carved out an hour of our Sunday to come and be with Jesus. I think that's why the church says it's obligatory. We have to come to Sunday Mass. But I think he also wants us to do it each and every day. To take not necessarily a huge amount of time, but the best time we have and to give it to him. To show that he is the top priority of all that we have. And we don't just want to do things for ourselves, but like Mother Teresa, we want to do the things of Jesus. To receive him and bring him to others. Brothers and sisters, let us pray in this Mass that we will have the grace to recognize those abundant gifts. To recognize not only gifts of time, talent, and treasure, but to recognize that everything in our life has a cost. It doesn't have to be something that scares us, but instead, it should reveal where our priorities are. Let's pray that we will use those resources in a way that makes God the most important thing. So that we won't just be invited to the wedding feast. We won't just be invited to be his disciples or to be the ones loved by God. Instead, we will be the ones that are chosen. Chosen to be worthy to receive him in his fullness and to lead a life that draws us closer to him. Now and for all eternity.